And back here on KATE Afternoons with Aaron here on this Monday. And, of course, on Mondays we talk sports with Mike Grimm with the Minnesota News Network. Of course, their sports director. Mike, a good afternoon. And how was your Father's Day?
Hey, it was rather uneventful, which was fine. I don't mind that. I watched some Twins baseball on TV. I got a little yard work done. I took a nap, as when you get to my age, you take naps more often. And It was fine. My daughter's doing a summer work program out near New York City, so you know I got to, you know, she texted me. That's the new thing. There's no such thing as cars with youngsters anymore. So she texted me, and my son's at home this summer, so I saw him some of the day. So yeah, we had a good time.
Very cool. Now let's start with the Minnesota Twins, and at this pace, the Twins could be in first by, you know, middle of July. You win four in a row, the White Sox go to Houston, they get swept, and just like that, the Twins are 12 or 12 and a half games back. Byron Buxton, always a good shot in the arm for the Minnesota Twins, but to go down to Texas, and I guess I haven't seen if Texas is any good this year, but for the Twins to go anywhere on the road and pick up a sweep, that's pretty impressive.
Well, it's a step, right? You just never know. I mean, there have been weird stories, you know, where teams have just all of a sudden caught fire. Clearly, the bullpen is much better. And, you know, I still contend what you and I have discussed in weeks past is part of why that bullpen has gotten better. Rocco's allowed starters to go a little longer, so that bullpen becomes a little bit more rested when it's called upon, and most guys are available most nights. There were also some off days in there where, you know, they had that 17-game stretch over 16 days, so that was hard. So, yeah, you know, and now to answer your question, Texas is no good. They're in last place in the AL West. They have the second-worst record in all of baseball, and their offense is the second-worst offense in baseball. That said, the Twins have the third-worst record in the American League, so it isn't as if that you should just count on beating those teams. So they went and took care of business. The bullpen was good. And it is amazing how Buxton makes a difference. You just to watch him go get fly balls in center and then hit home runs and do what he does, it's a difference maker. Now, I'm not going to put the Twins in the postseason, but I will put it in this category. If they play like they did this past weekend, even if they don't get back in contention, at least it'll give us something more entertaining to watch, because there were some stretches there where I almost had to turn the TV off or turn the radio off. I did a lot. I listened to Corey and Danny quite a bit, and love those guys. But man, when the team was doing some of the things they were doing, it was a little frustrating from a fan side of things, I'm sure, for a lot of people out there.
Absolutely. So the Twins had a good weekend. That's good. A guy that I think deserved what happened yesterday. We talked about him, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I'm referring to John Rahm, who had to step away from a tournament because he tested positive for COVID. He was up by six strokes after the third round.
Yeah, right.
John Rahm sort of got, I don't want to say his revenge, but this was good for him. This is a feel-good story. He had a great acceptance speech after he won the U.S. Open, and he had to come from behind, and he got a little help from Louis Oosthuizen, who made a couple of poor shots late in the U.S. Open. Is it always on Father's Day? Because I loved wrapping up Father's Day watching the end of the U.S. Open.
It traditionally has, yeah, been on Father's Day. Remember, there's that famous, the late, great Payne Stewart, that famous when he beat Phil Mickelson on that putt. I want to say that was in North Carolina many years ago. This is probably 20-plus years ago now, and that famous thing, because I think Mickelson's wife at that time was expecting. So, you know, that kid is now probably 20 or 23 years old, whenever it was. It was in the mid to late 90s whenever Payne Stewart won that one. And that famous thing on Father's Day where he grabbed Phil by the head and said, you know, someday you're going to have this moment. Unfortunately, in the U.S. Open, he hasn't yet, but he certainly has had his other moments, that's for sure. So, yeah, I remember being on Father's Day weekend most weekends. And I mentioned getting old, you take naps. Here's the other thing about getting old, you forget stuff. I totally forgot about the U.S. Open yesterday, didn't even think about it, and then my phone flashed a notification that John Rahm won it, and I was kicking myself a little bit for forgetting about it, not clicking over and watching that a little bit. So I missed the whole thing, but you're right, it was good to see. I mean, that guy's, you know, the number one or one of the top-ranked players. I think the win yesterday pushed him to number one ranking as well. So he had it coming. He was probably the best player. I don't think he had won a major before, right? I think he was probably the best player currently that had never, you know, in terms of like how they're playing right now, in terms of a guy that had never won one to win one. So, you know, there are others that have more long careers that, that are probably more accomplished in the long term. But in the short term, in terms of how they're playing right now, he's probably the guy that was playing the best that had never won one.
So Rahm wins the U.S. Open yesterday. Again, Mike Graham, sports director for the Minnesota News Network here on KATE. And I'm going to bring this subject up because we've talked about, you know, COVID in sports before. And Rahm had a step away after three rounds. And, you know, where he was exposed, you know, they never released that. And I bring this up because I'm a big NBA guy. And Chris Paul for the Phoenix Suns is having to sit out because he tested positive for COVID, and they're in the Western Conference Finals. He's been vaccinated and so on. When I watch an NBA game, I watched a couple yesterday, and again, Chris Paul probably got COVID, hanging out with friends, family, away from basketball. I'm a little surprised at how quick sports have gone in some cases, and let's just say the NBA, because the NBA is the one sports where fans are just sitting on top of the players. You don't get any closer to a sport than you do in the NBA. And I'm watching the game yesterday, and Trae Young is trying to inbounds a pass, and they have to get fans to move back, you know, to make some space. There's not too much space in the sideline. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, okay, so Chris Paul picked up COVID somewhere. At the same time, you're allowing fans to literally breathe on these NBA guys that could miss significant time if they would test positive for COVID. I just, from that standpoint, I think that the NBA standpoint, they have let fans get too close way too fast.
Well, and the fan behavior, too, has been an issue, right? We had a guy get a water bottle thrown at him, a guy get popcorn, a guy got spit at. I mean, it's crazy. Like it's all of a sudden, it's like they let the zoo animals out or something.
Yeah,
you know,
correct.
It's like, I don't disagree with that. And it also shows, kind of teaches that, you know, even if you're vaccinated, there's still, you know, a possibility you can get this. It's unlikely you'll have symptoms. It's my understanding that Chris Paul feels fine, but he's positive. So if you're positive, you can spread it to people. So he's got to, you know, stay away. And that's the shame of it. I think, If memory serves, Rahm had not been vaccinated, and so there was maybe, in a weird way, a little less sympathy for him. But in Paul's case, not only is he missing games, but he was vaccinated and still got it, which it's a rarity. But he's one of those guys that, you know, he's now a stat, right? In the sense that, you know, there aren't very many people who have been vaccinated and have gotten it. Anyone who has been vaccinated and gotten it, it sounds like, has not, you know, really had any harsh symptoms, but that's too bad. I was surprised, quite frankly, last week, not to get sidetrack the story, but you know, the Vikings had their mini camp last week and a bunch of guys were available. I was surprised at the number of guys for the Vikings that said they had not been vaccinated. And in the NFL, that's going to be an issue from a logistical standpoint, because they're leaving it up to the players, which I think is right. And I'm not even, full disclosure, I am vaccinated. I think it is, you know, that at this point it's fine. Let's do it and move on. But I was surprised, because what's going to happen is there's going to be like separate buses, separate hotel rooms, separate meeting rooms. If you're not vaccinated, the NFL protocols are totally different. So I was surprised. I mean, to me, it's one thing if you're, the problem is you start talking about this and people think you have some agenda. I don't. This is just my observation. If I'm just working at home by myself and I don't, you know, I'm not exposed to a lot of people, and if that person doesn't want to get a vaccination, okay. But if you're part of an NFL football team where, you know, you got 54 other guys or however many it is counting on you to not do it, I think it's a little dicey, quite frankly. And then on top of which, you've got to, you know, go through, you got to wear a mask, you got to do meetings separately on Zoom like you did last year. You take a different bus, you can't go out to eat when you're on the road. You know, so you wear a mask on the sideline. It just seems like a lot of stuff. So I was surprised that, I don't know, I'm going to say four or five of the Vikings last week during interviews said that they had not been vaccinated. So interesting stuff. It'll be interesting to see how the NFL season plays out, if that's the norm across the league.
Afternoons with Aaron, KATE, our normal Monday afternoon guest, Mike Grimm with the Minnesota News Network, their sports director. Mike, have you heard about Kirill Kaprizov with the Minnesota Wild? I saw a story this morning that I guess negotiations have gone cold with him, and there's a chance that he might be talking to some clubs back in Russia.
Really? I had not seen that. Wow, that would be It would seem to me why he would not have enjoyed what he did as an NHL player, for his rookie year. I would think the money won't be as good. I know he's locked up for the Wild. I think, what is it, two more years he has?
The
club. Interesting. I'll have to look that up. I did not see that. That would not be good if he indeed is not interested in a long-term future with this franchise. That's for sure.
Well, according to the NHL Network, contract negotiations have gone cold as they work on a new deal, I guess, for next season. And the story also says one thing that might motivate him to go back to Russia is he could play for Russia in the Olympics in 2024. I didn't know this either. I guess the Olympics in 2024 are not going to have NHL players.
Right. Yeah, I think there's some specific reasoning. Where are the Olympics? Does it have to do with the time? Maybe the time zone. I off the top of my head, I don't remember where those 2024 games are. But
I don't either, no.
I think there was something to do with because of the time situation and when it is and all of that, the NHL said not this year or not that year. Very interesting. Yeah, that would not be good if he's not interested in staying with it. Because he changed the complexion of the whole franchise with his season, frankly.
And if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, which he's the favorite in the NHL, I think Minnesota sports fans are going to lose their mind and never trust a trophy or an award ever again because Justin Jefferson didn't get it for the Vikes. Anthony Edwards, no, for the Minnesota Timberwolves. If Kaprizov does not get it for the Minnesota Wild, then you can have no faith in these awards anymore.
Yeah, right. There's a guy for the Stars that I guess if Kaprizov doesn't win it, this guy for Dallas will get it. And, wouldn't that be something? I think you could make a case for the other two in terms of them not winning okay. Like Justin Herbert had, one of the best statistical years a rookie quarterback's ever had, and quarterback is, the glamour position in the league. So, I probably think that Justin Jefferson deserved it with some of the records he set. I understand why media members voted for the quarterback. And Anthony Edwards had such a slow start, and LaMelo Ball had such a huge start. Remember, he started out like a house of fire, so he had a big lead in that early. That said, I think Edwards probably deserved that, and I don't know if people weren't paying close enough attention to the Wolves, probably the case. It's not like LaMelo Ball was playing on some juggernaut either. So interesting there. But, yeah, in this case, it seems Kaprizov should win that award for sure.
And, Mike, staying on the topic of awards, have you ever had a vote when it comes to being a media member for any kind of awards?
Yeah, a couple. I vote for the Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
And I vote for the All-Big Ten teams for football and men's basketball. I have not been, I'm not a member because I'm a broadcast journalist. I'm not a member of the Baseball Writers Association, even when I was covering baseball on a much more daily basis in St. Louis. That's mostly reserved for the baseball writers. And so they vote on all the awards there. But so, no, my main claim to fame for that is I vote on the All Big Ten teams and I vote for the Heisman Trophy. So I've been voting. Actually, my Heisman Trophy vote goes all the way back to my time. I've been voting on the Heisman Trophy since 1999. So,
oh, wow.
I get a kick out of that. It's fun to do. And I did it when I was working in Iowa. I was, covering Iowa. And then when I moved to St. Louis, they kept my vote. And then when I moved here, they juggled some things, and I kept my vote as well. So, that's been kind of fun to track and follow and go back and see, okay, I voted for this guy. He didn't win. And, usually there's an obvious guy. I voted for the winner this past year, the Alabama receiver. But every now and then I'll vote for somebody that doesn't win it.
Have you kept track of your voting record? How good are you at picking the winner?
I have not. I could go back. I'd have to probably really rack my brain to remember who I voted for. The last one I think that I voted for, because basically what you get, Aaron, is three. You vote first place, second place, third place. So you vote for three guys. And that has changed over the years, too. So, at one point, I think we were voting for maybe 10, I want to say. But I think it's three now. Most of the time, it's been three. And so you vote for three. And so the last one I remember was the running back for Stanford. McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey, I voted for him to win it, and he did not. And I forget who won it the year he won it, but I voted for McCaffrey, and he did not win it. So I think that's probably the last time I voted for a guy that didn't win it.
Mike Grimm with us here on Kate Radio, and I bring this up, and one last comment I want to make, going back to a voting, is in the NBA, and at least when you're voting for things, it doesn't affect anyone's bottom line, doesn't affect how much money making. I bring this up because I was listening to some talk radio. The NBA, the way they set things up is kind of crazy, where guys have things written into their contract that they make bonuses for making the first team, second team, or third team NBA. And if they don't make those teams, then they can't sign a contract for a certain amount, or they don't get this bonus, which I think is putting a lot of responsibility on the writers or the people that cover the NBA, because they're dictating these guys' financial future. And at the same time, it really, in the incentive to be a team ball player does not exist if you're trying to get a big stat so you can make first team, second team, third team, and make more money.
Well, and it's interesting you brought that up, because I was listening to an interview a couple of weeks ago here in the Twin Cities with John Krasinski, who was a longtime AP writer, covers the Wolves. Like, if there's a Wolves story to be broken, he breaks it. Now he works for The Athletic, and I heard him being interviewed here locally in the Twin Cities a couple of weeks ago. And he had mentioned on the air that he pulled out of voting 3 or 4 years ago for that reason. He just didn't feel comfortable. He had an ethical, I'm maybe putting words in his mouth, ethical dilemma is not really the word, but he said he just didn't feel comfortable voting on, you know, MVPs or rookies of the year or what have you, knowing that his vote would dictate who makes money and who doesn't, that's not the role of the voter. So he actually does not vote. He pulled out of voting a few years ago for that reason, interestingly enough. So it's funny you bring that up. It is kind of a strange thing, you know, and a lot of sports, like the, you know, even in baseball, they can't do performance, like they can't give you money per win. They can only do it based on things that aren't that way, like if you hit a certain number of innings or appear in a certain number of games, but they can't say for every homer you hit, you get, you know, $10,000. Those things aren't allowed either. So there's always those things. But yet to have bonuses and such be dictated by media votes it's putting some pressure on the media as to who, and potentially, I don't think normally, but potentially in a rare case, maybe even a conflict of interest, you know, in terms of, I got to cover this guy, I better vote for him or he'll be mad at me, because sometimes those votes leak out, right? So,
absolutely.
You know, I think that's part of why John probably bailed as well. Like, let's say this isn't true, so I'm just making this up, but let's say he did vote for Rookie of the Year and it leaks out that, oh, he voted for the guy from Charlotte. You know, there could be, and John's, you know, an outstanding journalist, but for a lesser person, there could be some push to, oh, I better vote for our guy because I got to face that guy for the next, you know, in the locker room. I need him for, you know, to have a working relationship with, and I don't need him mad at me for the next 5 years or what have you if I don't vote for him for Rookie of the Year. So there's even potential conflict of interest that way. Even without the bonuses, there's that. That's always been the case. But when you're talking about bonuses, then it becomes an even bigger issue.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director, the voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football and basketball, joining us. He joins us every Monday. Mike, thank you so much for the time, and we'll catch up next week.
Okay, look forward to it. As always, thank you.